RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Midwest correspondent is Carrie Cox. Carrie is a passionate reader, writer, and photographer. She is on a quest to make memories with her husband and sons while exploring the world in her Jayco travel trailer, a.k.a. Birdie. Whether she is headed to a state park close to home or an epic national park road trip, she loves to travel with Birdie and blog about it at travelswithbirdie.com. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the show, Carrie. Last time you took us to Devil's Tower, KOA in Devil's Tower, Wyoming. Tonight you're going to take us to another stop from your Birdie NPS 100 trip. Where are we going this week?
I'm taking you to one of the most majestic spots my eyes have ever seen, the Grand Tetons National Park, where we will be visiting the Coulter Bay RV Park.
All right, we cannot wait to hear about it, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV comp and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from your home. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV for more info.
Carrie, get us situated geographically. Where is the Coulter Bay RV Park in the great state of Wyoming?
Well, if most people know Yellowstone is on the far western edge of Wyoming, the Grand Tetons sit about an hour south of Yellowstone and about 45 miles north of the cool town of Jackson. So we're in far eastern western Wyoming. This campground is located on the shores of Jackson Lake, which is centrally located to all that the Tetons have to offer.
Now, you have mentioned both in your blog post and to us that you feel most people really sort of, you know, do a drive-by in the Grand Tetons on their way to Yellowstone. Is that how you would characterize, like, most visits?
That's right. I think most people see Yellowstone as the highlight, and since this is the much smaller park, they just kind of pass through maybe to or from Yellowstone. And we had been lucky enough to see some pictures of the Tetons and have a couple of people who said that they really found them spectacularly beautiful. So we knew we wanted to spend a couple of days there. And I'm glad we had that information and made those plans.
All right. So you're going to tell us the right way to do Grand Tetons, right?
In That's
the
right.
National park area. All right. So let's dive in to the campground. Tell us a little more about it. Is it a public campground or a private one?
This is a national park campground run by concessionaires, and it's kind of rare to find an RV park in the national parks that has full hookups as well as pretty sites. Because I know when we talked about Yellowstone, we talked about how Fishing Bridge has full hookups, but it doesn't have, you know, very much scenery, while Coulter Bay kind of has both, or definitely has both, making it a real gem.
And it's, you said that in your blog post that it reminded you of the place you stayed outside of the Grand Canyon, right? Because it was also a national park campground run by a concessionaire, correct?
That's right. So I think they invest, you know, they've invested in the infrastructure here, and they've kept the scenery. So that's kind of a nice blend.
And, you know, we stayed at a beautiful national park campground this summer in Maine that we felt like had hookups and was clean and beautiful. So hopefully this is a model going forward for different campgrounds in the MPS system. It would be nice. All right. So let's kind of zoom in on the campground a little. Just give us a description of the size of it and sort of how things are set up and, you know, where you were within that campground.
I would say this is a medium-sized campground. There's the website says they have 100 spots. You don't, you know, see all of the spots at once, so you kind of feel a little, you know, not overwhelmed by the size of it because there's lots of trees. You're not in the woods, but there's lots of trees between the sites, giving you some privacy and some shade and just a really pretty view.
Carrie, are they fragrant pine trees by any chance?
They are. And in my blog post, I say that there's probably a correlation that we could figure out statistically for how much I love a place based on how many pine trees there are. And this place just has lots of towering pines.
So, of course, one of those little pine tree scent sticks in your car?
No, but I need one because I really, like, I have a shirt that says stop and smell the pine trees. Like, literally, that's how obsessed I am.
She has clothing to match her theme in life. All right, that's good. That's good. It's all theme. All right.
And those very pine trees keep you from seeing Jackson Lake, correct? I mean, the lake is a short walk from the campground, practically right there, but you can't see the lake from any of the sites, can you?
That's right. And you would never know it was there if you didn't drive around the corner to find it. So you have to get out and venture out to find it. You can walk to it. There's trails through the trees. We realized, you know, later in the day after we got there, but we drove.
Do you think they should cut down some of those fragrant pine trees to allow for a view of the lake?
No, never. No. The trees are great. You can see plenty of the lake once you're there.
So okay.
Do not advocate to tearing down national park pine trees.
All right, let's talk booking because that's probably a pretty important topic for this campground.
That's right. The website says that you should book by January 1st for summer dates. So we actually booked in November, the year before we planned to go, and they do fill up all summer long.
So the campground was packed when you were there. I mean, it was full pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't feel very busy or anything because most people are out and about enjoying the park. Not a lot going on in the campground. So this is basically where you go back to, you know, cook your dinner and hang out and relax at night. But otherwise, you're probably not hanging out a lot in the park.
And you guys like that kind of campground when you go on your epic road trips, right? I mean, because you're going out there to see these national parks and you just want a pretty comfortable place to sleep at night, correct?
That's right. And now this place is actually pretty enough that you could have strung up a hammock between the trees and kicked back and relaxed and also enjoyed that. But
how much to camp here, Carrie?
This is definitely more expensive than most national park sites. Almost all of the sites are pull-throughs, and they're $70 a night. There's a handful of back-ins for $60 a night. So considering that you don't have many amenities or activities, that's definitely on the high end. And again, compared to national park prices. However, we felt it was very fair pricing because of location, location, location.
Right. So it is like the MPS system probably should operate more within the framework of supply and demand, so they weren't worrying about funding so much. Like, it's probably a good idea.
I gotta say, it also kind of drives me crazy that they have these concessionaires running these campgrounds, because they're saying the parks are underfunded, the campgrounds are underfunded, yet they're handing off the profits to these concessionaires that are running the campgrounds. So I would like to learn more about why they do it that way, but that's for another podcast.
We'll have an episode on taking back the NPS campgrounds.
I was trying to look into that to understand a little bit of it, and I think it has to do with if it has a lot of hookups and a lot of infrastructure, it seems like they feel like the concessionaires have more experience in managing that, is the takeaway I took, but I don't have a source for that.
Yeah, Jeremy wants them to get the experience, you know, go to a class, go to a retreat, learn how to run a campground. That's what we'll start to do. We'll start running
retreats. The national park system has, in the past, I don't know how many years ago, approached KOA about running a lot of the national park campgrounds. I mean, there's this interesting little story there that they feel like somebody else should be running them to make them more profitable. And KOA said they weren't interested. Yeah. They didn't want to do that.
He's like, you can have your NPS sites. We've got our bounce pillows. Thank you.
Yeah. But if there was a campground like this in Yosemite, Yosemite is one of those places where you're staying like an hour almost outside of the park, unless you stay in the park with no hookups. I mean, if there is a place like this in Yosemite, they could probably charge $150 a night and still be booked all summer long. So,
oh, you're absolutely right. Because if you compare these prices to what you pay at the lodges that you stay in and, in national parks and, or the other kind of cottages and cabins, there is no comparison. It's just ridiculous how expensive it is to stay
within
in those
the
places.
Ethos of the national park system. I think that profit is a vulgar thing. Like, that's not attractive.
So there's that.
All right. Well, we just had our deep think, right, on the national park campgrounds.
So tell us about the sites. Are they spacious? Are they packed in tightly?
They're bigger than a private campground. You do have, a pretty good distance between you and your neighbor, and there's usually a few trees there. You can still see your neighbor, and they're pretty long. So I think most all of the pull-through sites can fit almost any size trailer pulling through. So you have a nice long site. You have your picnic table. You can't have fires here. I think in the West, they're still, often worried about wildfires getting out of control. So no fires in the campground. And just really pretty sites. They have the pine needles on the ground. No concrete or gravel here. So I know that's something that some people would miss. Some people say the sites aren't very level. We didn't have trouble with that. But again, our trailer's on the smaller side. So we just found a level or spot on our site.
A small trailer can still be not level, though.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think we just pulled forward and up. You kind of find that spot where, this spot is level.
All right. Now, I know the answer to this is going to be not much, but tell us about the amenities that the campground does have.
So the main thing you have here is the Jackson Lake is within walking distance. And Jackson Lake was just this phenomenally beautiful spot. So we had driven and gotten set up and drove down to the lake first thing because I really just wanted to get to see the mountains. And you have these big, beautiful boulders and crystal clear waters and the mountains in the distance and a phenomenally beautiful spot. While we were there, there were kids kind of splashing around in the water. You could take your chair, take a book, hang out there. Not a place where you'd jump in and swim because the water is mostly, snowpack melted. So very, very cold, but just a great place to hang out. There's a marina on Jackson Lake there, so you can rent watercraft. And there's hiking and biking trails at Jackson Lake. So that's kind of the main amenity. You don't have a pool, don't have a playground, don't have game room, but you have a lake. And you have then the rest of the Grand Tetons to explore.
Now, do you have a report for us on your two favorite topics, bathhouses and Wi-Fi / cell service?
I do, and those kind of go together. So this area is called the Coulter Bay Village. And in this part of the Grand Tetons, you'll find a visitor center. And then it has several of the amenities for this RV park and for the campground, which I need to come back and mention that in a second.
Wrote that down on my notes, Carrie. We're in a brain meld.
Spiritual connection.
So in Jackson Bay Village, there's a large laundry facility that's really like all the national park ones we've seen with dozens of machines, great big facility. And the nice thing is that they have Wi-Fi there. So even though we could not get it in our campground at all, I don't even think our Verizon worked in the campground, if I remembered correctly. So we went over to the laundry room, did some laundry, and got caught up on the world with our Wi-Fi there. And in the laundry facility is also the shower house. And so this was a national park one where it's a big shower house area for all the different campgrounds in the area. People could come. You have to pay to take a shower there. But they do take credit cards, I think, and cash at the counter. So you didn't have to bring your own quarters.
So you just bring a credit card to the bathhouse with you.
That's right. Because one time we went to one place where you had to have quarters and there was no warning for when you were going to run out of water. So like you'd put your quarters in and I didn't know how long it was going to last. So I was like trying to...
I got to editorialize here. Charge me $75 a night instead of $70 and don't make me bring quarters or a credit card to the shower. Annoying.
Yeah. So I think they have to do it at places like this because, again, you have so many tent campers and, probably people camping out on federal land. And so I think that's partly why they do that. But
and to control the water usage.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a water
sure.
use. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll bring our credit cards. Now, Carrie, tell us about the campground name and the possible confusion that could ensue.
Right. So the National Park concessionaire that runs Coulter Bay RV Park also runs Coulter Bay Campground, with the distinction being that the campground does not take reservations and does not have the same kind of hookups. I'm not sure if it has, I think it has some electric only sites, but no sewer for sure. And I'm not sure about water. So in either case, you want reservations and you want hookups. You need the RV park. So make sure you don't get that confused with the campground.
And who are they named after? You mentioned that in the blog post.
Yeah, they're named after John Coulter, who was one of the members of the Lewis and Clark expedition. And they believed that he came through this area. There's a rock that his name is etched in. They haven't verified and proven for sure that that was really his vandalism of the rock. And
was he in a travel trailer or fifth wheel?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he had a covered, well, probably not even a covered wagon. Maybe he had a horse. He and his horse were crossing the Grand Tetons. And so he came through this area. So that's how they named it for him. And you can go see the rock yourself. We didn't get to do that, but it's there. It's kind of cool because on this trip, we hit several different areas where Lewis and Clark had passed through. So it's kind of cool to make those connections, especially since that's something kids usually study in school.
Now, you give us the skinny on a lot of things in this RV park. Are there any other inside tips that you have for us if we're going to visit Coulter Bay RV Park?
You definitely need to be bear aware. You know, you're in a national park, and this is an area where there are both grizzlies and black bears. So there were restrooms in the campsite that you could walk to without driving over to the shower area. And I was a little skeptical about walking to those alone at night. I tried to, you know, for sure make plenty of noise. I didn't go through the step of carrying the bear spray, but though we did buy it for Yellowstone and the Tetons. But one morning we woke up to hear someone yelling, "Bear, bear!" You know, I jumped out of bed and looked out the front door, hoping to see it, but I had missed the bear that was apparently ambling through the campground. A guy up the hill was yelling to warn someone down the hill that the bear was heading toward him because he was facing the wrong direction and would have had a bear sneak up behind him.
And so, what wasn't Russell and the boys pranking you?
No, that was not. They were asleep.
Let's have fun with Mom.
I later talked to the guy who saw the bear, and he told me the whole story. And after we had our car breakdown, we had a tow truck driver who told us all about the bear. Like, I think he had a name for her that lives in this campground and or near this campground and is a regular visitor. I don't know if that's verified true or if that's tow truck driver folklore.
Okay. Well, and we're going to hear more, I think, about the tow truck driver in the next segment on activities, because I think it impacted your visit a lot. But right. Before we leave this segment, do you have a nobody's perfect for us or a camper beware here?
You know, I really think that you are in a majestic national park. You have full hookups. You have a shower house. You have a place where you can go for Wi-Fi. So there's really, I can't ding them. I was happy.
So if you have a complaint, it's like it's on you, you know, because you're in a beautiful national park. Like, shut up and go for a hike.
Yeah, Carrie says, you know, practice happiness, people.
That's
like,
right.
Be grateful.
Then in the art of the campground.
Exactly. All right. So that is Carrie Cox's review of Coulter Bay RV Park in Grand Teton National Park. We are going to be back in a minute because Carrie is going to tell us what to do and what she plans on doing next time as she gets back to Grand Teton National Park. Stay tuned.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with Carrie Cox from TravelsWithBirdie.com, and she just gave us a great review of the Coulter Bay RV Park in Grand Tetons National Park, and now she's going to tell us about all the awesome outdoor adventure that she got up to in the national park. So, Carrie, get us started. What's the first thing we should do when we're camping here?
The main thing you should do first is take a drive along the Teton Park Road. The Tetons, if you're not familiar with them, they are this just majestic mountain range. What makes them seem kind of more epic than other mountains, if you can be more epic, is that there's no front range kind of dividing the lowlands and the mountains. And so it's just, flatlands and then suddenly very dramatic mountains that go very high, you know, their Purple Mountain majesty and all of that. So they're really beautiful to drive along, and the main park road kind of takes you along a lot of the scenic sites. There's scenic pullovers and all kinds of things kind of to do oriented along that road.
Photography heaven too, right? I mean, this is a great place to get the camera out.
It is. And it's also really a great place to spot wildlife. There are also bison in this park. There's moose. And I was so sad. I really wanted to see a moose, but we didn't get to. But I heard that the lakes are a great place to see them, particularly in the morning and evening. So we didn't happen to see one, but that was definitely on my wish list.
Now, you had planned for a few days in this location because you really wanted to enjoy it, but you didn't necessarily get to spend all of those days enjoying the park, right?
Right. On our first day, as we drove down the road, we took a drive up Signal Mountain, which is pretty cool because it takes you about 800 feet up a mountainside to an overlook where you can see the beautiful valley. And up on top there, you also find a cell phone tower, which is kind of funny because that's not why it's called Signal Mountain. But if you need a phone signal, that's where you need to go because right up there, you have the best phone signal in the park. Well, anyway, we were coming back down Signal Mountain, and our car kind of started herking and jerking and throwing us some instrument panel lights, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. And we hoped to make it to a parking lot, but that just was not meant to be. We found a scenic overlook and pulled over, and the car died. And that was it. There was no reviving it. We looked on the internet and figured out that we probably had our alternator go out. So luckily we had purchased roadside assistance. We put the call in and found out we were going to be waiting 3 hours for a tow truck, which we were in a really isolated area, and the guy had to come like from the other side of the mountain range back from a tow that he was out on to get us and then take us down to Jackson. So that kind of blew our whole day because we had to wait 3 hours for him. And then, you know, it's an hour trip into Jackson almost. And once we got there, I had to get the car diagnosed. So that was kind of a bummer. But if you're going to have car trouble, like, this is the most epic spot ever. Our boys sat out of the car. They did cartwheels and took pictures. And we watched all the people bicycling by and just enjoyed this mountain view. So it was really kind of okay. You know, I would have rather been out, you know, hiking and doing more in the park. But we were very lucky. We were in a safe location and a safe, beautiful location. So we got our tow into Jackson. Turned out our car had to be kept overnight to get repaired. And we walked 2 miles to the car rental shop. That was the longest hike we did in the Teton, sadly. It was not very scenic. It was roadside. No sidewalks for about half of it. All uphill. We were kind of miserable and grumpy by the end of it. But we get to the car rental place, and there's this lemon yellow convertible Mustang in the parking lot. And the boys and my husband were all like, oh, it'd be really cool to get that. And I'm like, oh, no, we're going to get the practical car because this is already really expensive. We had to pay for the car repair and rent a car and blah, blah, blah. Well, we get inside and they just like override me. They're like, we're getting the Mustang, which is really funny because my husband generally isn't the override your wife kind of husband, you know, like but he was just like, we're getting the Mustang. And that was
There's moments in life, Carrie. This was it.
This was it.
You had to let him then. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If he pulls the I'm overriding
the man,
you woman
the man
card.
Chooses his battles, and then when he wants the yellow Mustang, he gets it.
He gets it. And the boys said that the yellow Mustang would let them see the mountains more clearly. And, you know, they ended up being kind of right. So It was only $40 more than the economy car. And really, I think that was the best $40 we've ever spent. It was awesome. We got in the thing, our hair was flying, and you really felt like you could reach out and touch the mountains. And my younger son, you know, he's the one who doesn't like hiking and doesn't like camping. And he's kind of our grumpy kid about all of this. And he had the biggest grin through this whole thing. He like kissed the car goodbye when we had to give it back. So they all really loved that. And it ended up kind of, you know, I titled the blog post Making Lemonade Out of Lemons because it ended up being this memory. I know the kids will never forget the time that we rented the convertible Mustang in the mountains.
Those are great travel moments.
And you had the right attitude about it. When something bad happens, you got to try and make it fun if you can.
Now, what did you do in your lemon yellow Mustang?
So we ended up going on, going back to drive through the mountains. You know, we had to get back so we could at least experience as much as we could. We ended up taking it to more Monroe. And thanks to our GPS, we kind of took the wrong route. Turns out there's a better way to get to Monroe. But we took this like 4-mile dirt road where I thought we were going to ding this car up and get charged really expensive, an expensive fee. But we made it. So what you need to know about Moore Monroe, when they were buying up land for the Grand Tetons, one of the areas had been homesteaded by Mormons in like the 1890s, the 1930s, kind of in that time period. And so after they left, the park was going to tear down the buildings, but they opted to leave quite a few of them. And so these old barns have become a really iconic photo spot for taking pictures, because you have the rustic barns with the peaks that almost perfectly match the mountain peaks off in the distance. And it's a really cool spot.
You have some actual foreground in your photos, right, of those grand mountains in the background.
That's right. And so it's kind of just one of those places people come from all around the world to take pictures of. Now, I have to say, we were not there at the good time to do that, because the sun was behind the barns when we were there. And so that kind of darkened them out, made it hard to photograph. Morning, I think, is a better time to go to Moore Monroe, but that's not how it worked out for us. But we still got to see it. There's people setting up for a wedding, and so you have to also kind of know that when you go, it might not be picture perfect. You know, you might not have the right sun, you might have people in your picture, because it's a really popular area. But make sure you drive down there if you're there, because there's lots of buildings, there's some horses, and it's just kind of a cool historic area.
People that really try to get great photographs are there before the sun rises. I mean, I think people leave at dark and get there at dark to get those magnificent photos for all the reasons you mentioned.
Right. And we're still in that part of our life where we really want to take really good pictures, but we're also just really living life, you know, and so we have two kids who aren't morning risers, and we try to balance, you know, making everybody happy. And so we don't always get the picture perfect photos, but hopefully we get the picture perfect moments by the time we balance everybody's needs.
Now, was there anything else that you got to enjoy in the park, even on your limited time?
The main thing that we really did get to experience that we all fell in love with was canoeing on Jenny Lake. So the Grand Tetons is home to this string of really beautiful sapphire blue lakes that reflect the mountains, totally picturesque. And we knew we had one half of a day to actually do an adventure, and we could hike or canoe, and canoeing won because our boys had really loved that in Yosemite. And so we knew they would like that kind of activity. So we rented canoes. They cost $20 an hour per canoe. So we could put two of us in a canoe. And the nice thing is they don't charge you until you come back. So they just charge you for the time you're actually out. You don't have to decide ahead of time how much you're going to be gone. And kind of a funny thing, when you go out, they warn you to stay close to the shore, because the wind can pick up out in the lake. Well, somehow we'd gotten halfway across the lake, and we'd forgotten about that and decided to trek on across. And my husband and younger son were in a canoe, and my husband's definitely weighs more than my younger son. And so the younger son's end of the canoe was kind of tipped up. Well, my husband said it was acting like a sailboat and just catching the wind. And so he was like rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing and like not getting anywhere. He said he was actually getting kind of nervous that he was never going to make it across this lake because the wind just kept pushing him back. But now, we survived.
We're going to link to your blog posts, the two blog posts. And I cannot stress enough how magnificently beautiful this spot is for the canoeing. I mean, this is like epically gorgeous.
It is. I mean, the water is just crystal clear. You can see the boulders down, you know, in this like turquoisey sapphire water, and this snowy capped mountain juts up behind you, and then the ring of green pine trees. I mean, it's just like everything I love in the world right there.
Now, Carrie, what is like the first thing on your list for your return? Something you didn't get to maybe do that you can't wait to go back and do?
The Jenny Lake area is prime hiking spot too. So some people take a ferry across the lake and catch a trail to go up to a place called Inspiration Point, where you get a view of Jenny Lake from above and some mountains in the distance, I believe. And there's also in that same area a hidden waterfalls hike. So we did not get to hike, and I was so sad because I know it would have been just lovely, but we didn't get to do that. So
well,
that's
you can
on our
spend
list.
Your lives exploring these national parks.
Okay.
You know, I mean, just having a list for next time is important. You're not going to do everything in one trip. And you made the point in your blog post, like so many people just don't schedule enough time in the Grand Tetons National Park, right? I mean, it should be a week or at least 4 or 5 days.
That's right. If you like that just kind of beautiful mountain place without necessarily feeling like you need to see a spectacle, you know, like Yellowstone has all these spectacles going on, where I think this is just kind of a more relaxed beauty. And it's actually kind of speaks to my soul maybe a little more even than Yellowstone was cool. It was interesting. It was just like, what is this place? But the Grand Tetons just, they stirred my soul. So they're, I think Mandy Lee, the photographer who was interviewed on
Girl Camper,
said that the mountains made me do it is one of her mottos in life, because she was in the Tetons when she decided to sell everything and take off and do photography in her little teardrop trailer. And so I totally, when I heard her story and she said the mountains made me do it, I'm like, I'm with you. They would they make me do that too.
So you need a t-shirt for that too. Your poetry t-shirt needs to be joined by a mountains t-shirt, right?
That's right. I am determined. I know I'm meant to live in the mountains. So I, you know, someday.
All right. We'll hold you to that eventually. So Carrie, thank you so much for that soul stirring review of Coulter Bay RV Park in Grand Teton National Park. And also, you know, just giving everybody an idea of the amazing beauty that they're going to experience once they get there. And thank you also to our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. Did you know that adding your RV insurance with another Progressive policy like auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save money when you're out there on the road seeing the sights? Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV to learn more.
And thank you so much to Jayco for sponsoring this podcast. To view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. And you can also check out the Jayco Journal and read some articles by Stephanie
Cox.
And I and by Carrie Cox as
yeah.
well. So check out the Jayco Journal.
Carrie, what's your most recent blog post for them, Carrie?
I just wrote about some of our successes and failures in our years on the road. So have to check it out and kind of see what we think we've done well and not so well at.
I read that at work the other day. Don't tell anybody.
We won't tell them. All right, Carrie, until we see you at the campground, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.